Let's raise our hands again and say, Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive fresh revelation and application. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. We believe and receive that the things that ought to be said will be said. The things that ought to be done will be done. And Jesus exalted. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, we're still on Holy Ghost meetings. It says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, we have said that there are different kinds of meetings that you have, and you must know the kinds of meetings. I was saying in the first service that, for example, when a believer walks into a church service without a Bible, we assume he's a believer, right? Because we should ask him, sorry, have you received Christ since you believed? Because, oh, you got that one, right? Why would you come to a church meeting without a Bible? That means two things. Either you were not told it was a church service, or you don't know what a church service is about. So you ought to naturally come to church with your Bible, because that is, you know why you're coming. For example, if you come for a prayer meeting, you don't say, why are we not singing? No, it's not a concert. It's a prayer service. So it goes the same way in knowing the kind of meetings that exists in the body of Christ. And like a man rightly said, Dr. Miles Monroe, who's gone to be with the Lord now, he had this famous quote that I love, and he says, where the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. And you know how sometimes you feel almost upset when people use something for what is not meant for? You know, and it's, what we'll put this here? You see, what is it? It's not supposed to be here, right? You say, no, it's not supposed to be here. Who put this there? And you're practically upset. Now, you can't be doing this one here. You know, so, because it's not meant for it. Because, you know, the moment you use something for what it's not meant for, it's an abuse. And it might depreciate the use of it. And that has happened to church meetings today. We use it for many things. Just, people just have church and, you know, they lose sight of the real reason why we come together and, you know, gather. So there are different reasons. There are different kinds of meetings, pardon me, in the body of Christ. And we must know the meetings. You know, sometimes people invite me to speak for them. And I asked them, excuse me, what is this meeting about? They say, it's a convention. I said, I know, I saw the title. What is it about? It's a convention, sir. I know, what kind of convention? Sir, a convention. I asked them, is it a prayer meeting, is it a believer's meeting, healing service? As the Spirit leads you. Okay, if the Spirit leads me, just come and be singing. Huh? I say, you're singing. No, you gotta know why. So, and thank God for someone like Kenneth Hagin, who gave a caution to the body of Christ with his book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, which found its way in our hearts, growing up, we're still growing, to know the kinds of meetings that we have, and to put purpose behind it. So we have different kinds of meetings. We have the teaching service, remember? That's a primary church meeting. Now, that's what you usually call Bible study. Really? Bible study. And people assume that Sunday cannot be Bible study. It has to be during the week when people are busy. So those who have much to do will come. You know, so they think that Sunday services should be so short. I'll make it very brief. Brief. I mean, someone say, I like brief. Say what you want to say. I mean, we're not stupid. We don't need long talk. Just say God wants you blessed. Simple, and let's go home. And how to be blessed? 1, 2, 3 principles. We go. What is all this explanation? This we're not idiots now. Let's go straight to the point. You are blessed. Yeah, I forgot. You are blessed not to be depressed. Simple things like that. That's simple. You know? You know. So you have teaching services where we go into details of scripture. You find Paul doing that in Acts 17, verse 3, for example, where he's alleging that Jesus is Christ through the scriptures. Luke 24, 25 to 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expound them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Matthew 5, verse 1 to Matthew 7, 28. You find 29, you see Jesus explaining scripture in detail upon detail, and that is a primary church service. We also said, the second kind of meeting is what? We said a prayer meeting is a response of what? Study the word. So if you have a church that is called a Bible believing church, as we say it, I don't know which one is not Bible believing, but where they study, say, what church? And they don't pray. They are deceiving you. It's a scam. If it's a what church, it has to be a praying church. Because prayer is a natural response to hearing God's word. Okay? So a prayer meeting flows from a teaching service. So we pray because we have the word. Now look at when Jesus spent 40 days teaching his disciples, approximately, for about 40 days. You know, Luke's Gospel 24, 25 to 27 again, verse 44 through to 49, and Acts 1, 3 to 4. Notice that what they did after Acts 1, 15 was they came together to pray. So prayer is the natural follow-up to Bible study. So we said that, so we have teaching of the word or teaching service. Then we have prayer meetings where we come to pray. Acts 4:24, they lifted up their voice in one accord to God in prayer. That's one of the things you pray. That's a response to teaching. So we also have what we call the outreach or evangelistic services or meetings where we go to preach to the unsaved. We did that yesterday. And as a church, we engage on that every day. We keep reaching the lost, We go out to get people born again. Many of you are here today because you were reached out to and you received Christ. So that's an outgoing to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a kind of meeting. Then we also have a healing service or healing meeting where people come to receive healing in their bodies. Sick in the body, you get healed in such services where the power of God, Luke 5:17, is present to heal as Jesus was teaching. We have healing services. Also, we said we have what you can call the ministers or workers meeting. Now, again, to repeat myself, you discover that there were epistles written to leaders and ministers. 1st and 2nd Timothy, right? Titus was written to a pastor. 2nd John and 3rd John were also written to elders, leaders of churches, showing you there is a special dedicated teaching, emphasis, doctrine, instruction, and set of words of wisdom, or let's say wisdom anyway, given to leaders and those who are active in the work of the ministry. In fact, in virtually all of Paul's epistles, you have segments of them directed to leaders or pastors or, you know, those who are in authority. You have, you know, that in almost all the letters of Paul, okay? And so you have that part of ministry, that we have meetings that are for workers and leaders. In Acts 20:17, Paul called for the elders of the church at Ephesus alone. In Acts 15 as well, we find that they gathered together to discuss a matter, doctrine, Acts 15 verse 5, where apostles and elders. So we have such meetings. Also, we have what we also can tag Holy Ghost or believers meetings, or Holy Ghost and believers. But again, through the teaching ministry of Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, the founder of Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Now, Kenneth Hagin Ministries is also being led by Kenneth Hagin, but Kenneth Hagin, the son of Kenneth Hagin, all right? And they are both a great gift to the body of Christ. Today, without someone like Pastor Hagin, you couldn't have had Kenneth Hagin Ministries reach the world like this. And sometimes his work goes unmentioned by many people, and I call it a lot of dishonor. So I like to always say this part, that he did much of the behind-the-scenes work of Kenneth Hagin. He's also Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin is father. So Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin. Anyway, so he gave important information that there are some meetings that they are not like the teaching meetings, the healing meetings. They sometimes bring them together. Okay? Because they happen at the spur of the moment. Or let's say things happen in it at the spur of the moment. Unlike a teaching service where you have something, you had planned a series, like we've been doing series in our churches, our church meetings. This one might not fall in that category. You preach, you know, as being led by the Spirit. And an example of that is that some things will happen unplanned. Unplanned. You may even plan it to be unplanned. In Acts 10, for example, where Peter is yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell, verse 44, while he was still talking. That's an example of a Holy Ghost meeting. While he was still talking and things will just change. You know, that's an example of a Holy Ghost meeting. So Acts 2, the Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord, and they, suddenly, verse 2, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. So we have such meetings, Holy Ghost meetings. In fact, what we call Believer's Convention, times of refreshing, which we're having next month, praise the Lord, began as rivers of joy. We used to call it rivers of joy, seasons of refreshing. In fact, it used to be said, it used to be called rivers of joy, seasons of refreshing with Christian going on. You can actually call them in the 90s, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, I think, up to 98, I think, not 99. 99 was camp meeting, believers camp meeting. So those meetings usually will have that flavor. We just come around and we just have the flow of the Spirit. Then I didn't used to preach at all. I just had my friends come. Brother Tokes used to speak then, and I'll just, you know, practically open the sessions for them, and we have the move of the Holy Ghost in the meetings. And the subjects are usually not pre-planned, and so that's the pattern that now we brought to what we now call Believers Convention. That's why we retain the term times of refreshing, because it came from that meeting, Rivers of Joy, which began in 1995. So these meetings, like I said, are patterned after the things that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it, brethren, when you come together? And every one of you, each one of you has a psalm, has a lesson or a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. I must mention this. There are a good number of churches that are not aware of this very important detail of knowing that there are different kinds of meetings and they play different kinds of roles. Next week I'm going to talk a bit about this. I know I will, because I sense that's my emphasis next week. And you have, you know, such information to know different kinds of meetings and how they function. So today, just like I did in the first service, I'm going to emphasize something Brother Higgins said when he thought about the believer's meeting. He said, number one, the believer's meeting is where the word of God is preached and given first place, just like we're doing now. You preach it, the word, give it first place. Now, I'm going to emphasize the second thing he mentioned, which is the Holy Ghost is given free course to manifest himself. That's how he puts it. Now, in the first service, I did explain that a free course is when there's a free flow of something. I use the example of Lagos Ibadan Expressway. It becomes express until beggar. You'll be expressly stopped. And I mentioned how I think last week or week before, I went to Ibadan to go and give a speech. I was a keynote speaker at an event, not a preacher. So coming back, I told the guy I'm leaving. The trip was very quick. And we got to Vega around, less than 15 minutes. I think it was about 40 minutes. And that was how the journey in the wilderness started. I was supposed to have a meeting with church leaders. I kept postponing it. I said, sorry guys, it's going to be 9:30. Sorry guys, 9:45. Sorry guys, it's 10. After a while, I just said, sorry guys, this might look like midnight though. So I think by then it's 11 o'clock. So I was on the same spot, you know. That is hindering the flow. Now it looks funny, but that's exactly what happens when you put roadblocks to the flow of the Spirit. And, you know, human beings can hinder the work of God's Spirit. People can. God wanted Israel to enter into the promised land, but the Bible says to us in Hebrews 4:1 that Hebrews 3:19 and Hebrews 4:1, some could not enter in because of unbelief. So there are things that can hinder the flow of God's Spirit. Just like that. Have you seen that before? That, you know, you just discover that maybe in your house, and then water just, maybe at your kitchen, what do you call that thing now? Is it basin? What's that? I don't like the word sink. But that's why I'm not saying it. I know sink. I know it very well. So I'm just not saying it. You know. And you find, and then you have to see water just because something has blocked it. Did you get it? Something has hindered the flow. And usually you know very well that water is used to describe the move of the Spirit. John 3:5, except a man is born of water, which refers to the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. John 4:14, Jesus described the indwelling of the Spirit like a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. In John 7:37-38, he describes the work of the Spirit as rivers of living water. Ezekiel 36:25 also says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. So water, Isaiah 44:3 as well, water is used to describe, or the motions and the characteristics of water, used to describe the move of the Spirit of God. That's why we find out, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, Joel 2:28 and Acts 2:17. So, therefore, this illustration becomes adequate, because oftentimes, writers of scriptures admonish us not to hinder the things of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing in everything, verse 18, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. In verse 19, he says, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. It says, quench not the Spirit. Which means I can get in the way of the things of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:39, Paul again instructs. He says, forbid not to speak with tongues, covet to prophesy. Which means we can forbid to speak with tongues. He warns Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:14. He says, neglect not the gift which is in you. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, stir up the gift that is in you. So we therefore know that it is possible for you and I to stand in the way of the things of the Spirit. We can do that. So I gave a few in the morning, earlier in the morning. I said, number one, how can we create a roadblock for the move of the Spirit? I said, number one, ignorance. That's why Paul says, I would not have you ignorant, 1 Corinthians 12:1. You can be ignorant. Maybe you don't know. You just plainly don't know. And there are places, there are times that people just don't know. And someone says, hey, in fact, someone once told me, he said, my gift is not speaking in tongues, my gift is drama. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but where did you find it? You know, it's a thought, but where did you read it? So I said, let's look at the scriptures together. Wherever you see tongues, where did you see drama in the group? So we saw 1 Corinthians 12. There was no drama. We had gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and all that. There was no drama. 1 Corinthians 12. How did you get it from? He said, that was what I was told. And you didn't find out yourself? So it's not a talent. So we have such ignorance, where people are ignorant because they don't just know. You know, and I recall having to speak in a church where just the elders of the church spoke in other tongues. And they'll come to church in the service, and because I saw them do it once, and they'll come like this, and they'll gather, and they'll be speaking. I don't know what they were doing that for. But people say, amen. I said, wow. So I kind of asked the pastor, I said, what do you believe about the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Ghost? Ah. He said, my people, you know, they are really waiting for it. They only that they do this class and that class and that school and that for what? Said they sometimes takes up 7 years. I said, So I said, that's very great. I didn't tell him what was great. He said, oh, yeah. So by the evening I began to share the word of God, and somehow stirred in their hearts was faith. And then many of them in their hundreds came out and we laid hands on them and they spoke in tongues. And you knew that was my last day there. You know, but the point was they were not ignorant as a decision. They didn't just know. So, but either way, whether they didn't just know or they refused to know, there was an hindrance to the things of the Spirit. As soon as I ministered like that, you see a free flow of God's Spirit. A free flow. I remember 1996 or so, or say 5, we had this meeting at Ogbomoso. Myself, Larry Amuso, Tuju Oguleye, Brother Tokes came on a Friday, on a Saturday morning, Pastor Bolu Paul, we're just a group of friends, we used to minister together. And we got to this church, it was a CAC church, and I'm saying it because they won't come after me. So we had the vigil with them, and suddenly the whole place became really funny. For whatever reasons, they were just looking at us somehow, and we're doing interpretation and on our stuff. So the whole place was really funny. I mean, really, really funny. We were just looking at, and it was a vigil, so nobody could go. You know, it's not the kind of meeting you could just say, okay, we're going to sing that session at him. So I just said to my guys, I said, we have to do something. What we do? I said, we have to, I mean, the pastor obviously, you know, was looking at us like, who are these young boys? And he invited us. So gave it over to, and Larry, my friend, could speak better in Yoruba than all of us. Tunji also could, but Larry was far better than us, because his father was a CAC pastor. So we began to minister, and then we got them to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and of course minister to the sick. Suddenly, you could see, you know, you know, if it was possible to capture it on camera, you would know something changed. Because knowledge came, and then somehow there was, like we broke a barrier. And it was such a strong atmosphere of God's Spirit. So strong that, in fact, we had to run out because they were hungry and all that. In the middle of it, the pastor just came to meet me and said, please help me tell them to talk about giving. The way they have received you, just talk about. Actually, they said tithe. They said, please mention their tithe. You need to, if you say it. So that's how my friend did it. And I just told him, you are the third girl. So, on the day of judgment, I'll say, I didn't do anything. You know, but my point was, the change in the atmosphere was, you know, was a lot of information had been passed in the atmosphere. And so there was, you know, that flow of the Spirit. So you have ignorance. I call a brother, I mentioned it again today. He's been a Christian since 1986. And we worked together, but somehow, I didn't pay attention to the fact that he wasn't speaking with tongues. Because I met him first in 92, into 93. I didn't see him again for a while, but I saw him again. So we're working together in ministry. And then I asked him, Brother Solomon, you know, speaking, so I said, yes, because everybody was, you know, when everybody was speaking, everybody was doing like this. Oh God, Father Lord. One is Father, but the two together, anyhow, you know, like I feel something, you know, Father, I feel Lord. So I said, what's going on here? They told me, been waiting for how long? 10 years. Even those that were told to tarry, how many days did they wait? Like I used to say that, I always say it's a New Testament joke, and your own is 8 years. Your own is too much. To get it. So I got the God filled with the Holy Ghost. So I just opened the scriptures to him. And he spoke in tongues. He was in the primary school class. And he spoke in tongues. And he'd be, you know. But what was the hindrance? Knowledge. It was just ignorance. And sometimes you could be ignorant and you'll be mocking those who are not. You know, ignorance can be very loud sometimes. And arrogantly stupid. You know. And that's one. I remember a guy like that, he came to a meeting. And he's just this spicy, you know. Sometimes just look down what's going on and all. And not knowing that he needed healing. Until a friend of mine ministered to him. So you can have ignorance. Ignorance can stand in the way. That's why Jesus spent time to teach. So number two, I said in the morning, I said the second hindrance, right, will be irreverence. Irreverence. Where you are just irreverent. You're just not, after a while, sometimes it's because of familiarity. You just get irreverent. And you will wish, you forget about it. You know, and you have folks like that, you come for a prayer meeting and then you're using your phone, you know, all those kind of things that shows you don't respect the person. You know, there are places you go to, your phone goes and say, yeah, who are they sent to come and hinder my destiny? You know, maybe you are in front of a very important prayer and say, and you know, it's all kind of ringtone. Ta, 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 ta. It's not my phone in Jesus' name. Because you know you are before an important personality. You get it? But imagine if you brought the same attitude to church, to the things of God, so you can have irreverence, where you just are, you know, not giving the kind of reverence. Of course, it comes from over-familiarity. So we also said, you have the concept of dishonor, where you just don't see it. It flows the same way anyway. And I said in the morning how Jesus went to his own hometown and they felt, is it not Jesus? We know his brothers, we know his sisters. And if, for example, you're around the move of the Spirit long enough and you don't participate, it will grow into dishonor and contempt. Same way if you're in a church like this, let me just say this clearly. You know, our church is very straightforward. I told you at the workers' meeting yesterday, what we do here is to train you to pastor churches. That's what we do. We don't have any other mission. Any other mission is secondary. That's all. So if after a while, that desire is not there, and you're not actively involved in it, after a while, you become contemptuous. You begin to, oh, it's a big deal, don't mind. Because you never gave yourself to it. And that's what they did to Jesus, such that he could do no mighty work. Mark 6, verse 3 to 4 to 5. He could do no mighty work. He could not do it. He could not do it. John 1, 11 says he came to his own received him not. He could not do it. The psalmist said they limited the Holy One of Israel. So you have those kind of attitude, dishonor. And the fourth one I mentioned earlier today, we said strife. Someone says strife. That's why Paul will talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And by 1 Corinthians 13, starts talking about love. Because where love is missing, the gifts of the Spirit will be stifled and many times become inoperative. We need to walk in love. Love also flows from honor. Honor flows from love. Right? Which means I will not allow strife. I will not allow dishonor on my heart. Okay? Offenses. Why is this so? Let me say this clearly to you. God's method is man. You see, let this get into you so strong. And there is no human being that is flawless. Now, I'm not asking you to celebrate people committing sin. That's not what I'm talking about. There's no human being that is flawless. There's no human being that is not human. So, and that is God's method. Okay? So, you and I will need to therefore up our game when it comes to walking in love. If we're going to walk with God, we need to walk in love with people. Because God will keep using people and he will not change it. He will keep using people, and the people he will use, he will not ask for your permission. So therefore, it becomes necessary for you and I to always walk in love. And it's not just for church. I've said it to you before. At your workplace. At your school, if you're still a student. At home. In fact, some of the most difficult places to walk in love is at home. And sincerely, it shouldn't be. Because we see people that live with us as just ordinary after a while. See, no matter who the person is, if you love the person, respect the person, and look high up to the person, as soon as you are brought close, there is a tendency that you begin to see the person, he or she, as just ordinary. And so we have a duty to up our game when it comes to that, to walk in love with honor, to see ourselves as God's vessel. And let me say this clearly. It need not be someone that you like. Okay? It need not be someone that you asked for. No. God will use people. So in the local assembly where we teach about love, honor, basically we are preparing ground for the things of the Spirit to be well explained, not just explained, to be in manifestation. I always say it like this. About 11 years ago, I was going for a conference and I was in the plane. And the Lord just said to me directly, he said, go back to Lagos, go back to Nigeria, and go and teach this and say it so often. And he gave me, I've said this to you over and over again. It will allow us receive from one another as believers. That's why Paul threw that into the Corinthian church. You know, if you read the Corinthian church letter very well, from the very first chapter, Paul was addressing strife. Strife, division. In fact, in chapter 11, he said some people were dying because they were not walking in love. Chapter 10, you know, up till 12. So when he got to 12 and he got to 13, he had to say, look, if you guys want the things of the Spirit to go unhindered amongst you, you will need to follow the more excellent way, which is love. So I say love. So I walk in love. I don't allow strife or offenses on my heart. So there's a major roadblock. A major roadblock is strife. A major roadblock. Because every time you are in strife, you will never see what God is doing. The moment you are in offense, you will never see what God is doing. Don't be in offense. Even with people, listen to me. Even with people that don't agree with you doctrinally. There are people that you could see clearly that what they are teaching is not accurate. You see? But that is not the room to have offense. No, it's not. It's not the room to have offense. You will still be walking in the flesh if you have offense against someone who is not teaching the Bible accurately. Now, I've not asked you to endorse error or be open to error and, you know, what is wrong and evil. But you see, with people who are human, prone to mistakes and lack of judgment, like you and I, good judgment like you and I, you'll be open and walking in love. And so when it comes to the Holy Ghost meetings, again, the flow of the Spirit, a major hindrance is strife. Major hindrance. Lack of honor. A major hindrance is ignorance. Irreverence. They constitute a problem. So, as a pastor, you deal with those things first. So that the things of the Spirit will be unhindered in the flow. Are you here? And also, as a pastor, ensure that you do not become an object of offense yourself. Because that could be a major problem too. So, the things of the Spirit are ministered better in such atmospheres. So when Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. So in the first service, we said, what is the flow of the Spirit? So the flow of the Spirit is primarily, firstly, utterances. What did I call it? Utterances. God has given to every believer supernatural utterances. Say, God has given to me supernatural utterances. That's why ignorance is going to be a problem. Because if you say, oh God, give me what to say. No, he has given you what to say. Acts 2 verse 4. The day of Pentecost. It says, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's not the Spirit who spoke. They did the speaking. They began to speak because the Spirit gave them utterance. So if God has given to you His Spirit, that means He has given to you His utterance. And the utterance involves tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. What do I call it again? I want everybody to say it again. Let's go. Take it again. Take it again. So God gave you His Spirit and you have become a speaking spirit. Say, I have become a speaking spirit. So you speak as an act of your will. That's why Paul could say Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18, when in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So you are given by desire. Amen. Amen. See, I desire utterances of God's Spirit to flow through me and in me now. Let's speak in other tongues and see how that goes. Utterances of God's Spirit to flow unhindered. Amen. 1 second. Say, I regard and revere and honor the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. I don't esteem these gifts lightly. I esteem them highly, and I walk in the benefits. Let's go ahead. Esteem them. Go ahead. Amen. You know, that same way I can sing, right? And I think I mentioned this in the first service. You see, whatever you disrespect will lose value with you. Don't ever give attention to anything that mocks the things of God. That's why there are things I would say, no, don't say that. I went to Skabash. What does that mean? Don't say things like that. Say, I spoke in tongues. I prayed in the spirit. Don't use funny, irreverent slangs for the things of God. Are you here? Very good. So, when we speak with tongues, can we also sing with it? Let's go ahead and do that. We can sing with it. We can sing with it. That means you just put melody to it. Come on, go ahead. You can sing with it. You can sing it out. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Oh, the Lord is saying, amen. You can sing with it. And with that, we can also sing the meaning, right? Can we also sing the meaning? Come on, so we'll do like this. We'll sing with tongues. We'll sing the meaning. Can we do that? Let's go ahead and sing in tongues. So then us is here to speed the process. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And we can practice that often. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God has given to us utterances. Say, I have a speaking spirit. Which means that at each point, you know, I can decide right now to get into the spirit. And how do I do it? I'll just start speaking in tongues. I'll start speaking in tongues. And many times when things are not clear, you want to get a hold of something. And usually when you are counseling people or you are doing on a follow-up and you want to find things out, if you spend quality time speaking in other tongues, you will find out. That's what we're going to talk about in a moment. So you therefore are giving expression to that deposit of God in you. God has given you something, His Spirit, really. And within what He has given you, you have utterances. So all of us here, we have been enabled to speak and speak by His Spirit. Also, what do we have? We also have revelation from God. You know, on the day of Pentecost, if you notice, they didn't just speak. They also heard and saw. In verse 2, it says, there came a sound. Hallelujah. Was that the keyboard? Was that the microphone? Nope. That wasn't sound system. There came a sound from where? Acts 2:2. Look at it. There came a sound from where? From heaven. You know what heaven is, right? Huh? The supernatural world, right? There came a sound from heaven. How did it sound? Look at it. As of a rushing mighty wind. What else? It filled all the house. Glory to God. Now, those outside, did they hear that sound? Nope. That means it's a gift. God gave them the ability to hear things. What else? Look at verse 3. And there appeared, look at verse 3. There what? appeared unto them what? So, now, with your ears, you hear sound. With your eyes, you see. So, which means on the day of Pentecost, they were able to also what? Hear and see. Those outside, did they see the fire? Nope. So, which means when God gave you His Spirit, He gave you the ability to, one, hold on to what? Now, when you speak with tongues. What else? And what else? Let's take it again. You speak with what? And what else? Oh, also, He gave you the ability to perceive. To perceive beyond the senses. Because those outside did not see it. They didn't see it. And sometimes, something I saw just before I came up, when we're singing the song, and I came up in some of our Holy Ghost meetings, is that there's an awareness for all of us who are, you all should be, in evangelism, where we're able to see in the supernatural events taking place when we're preaching the gospel. See, I received that. Come on.
I
thought you'd do that quickly. See, I received that.
So
as you're preaching, you begin to, you know, sense things happening. Because on the day of Pentecost, and these guys are not Christians for many years. No. No. They just all said. And they heard a sound. Now who heard the sound? Those outside or those inside? Those inside heard the sound. As of a rushing mighty wind. Verse 3 says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues. So which means, amen, they had the ability to see and into where? In the Spirit. Glory to God. Anyone with the Holy Ghost here? Anyone with the Holy Ghost? Have you seen your hand? Raise your hand if you got the Holy Ghost. Come on, raise it well. Got the Holy Ghost. So what else do you have? You have? Come on, keep your hands raised. Utterances? Right? Utterances? What else do you have? You can what? You can what? You can what? And what? Speak? You can what? Hear and speak? You can hear and see. Amen. Amen. So, you know, just do like this. Touch it and say, I hear and I see in the Spirit. I hear and I see in the Spirit. I hear and I see in the Spirit. Oh, that's okay. Praise the Lord. I hear and I see. Because they heard and saw. And so that you know it's not a one-time event. Because there's some of you here. Alright, yes, Lord. you feel just once. No, it's not once. It's not once. It's meant to be a free-flowing river. It's not once. And it's not for events at some time. Because look at the Acts of the Apostles. You had Ananias in a disciple. Ananias is in study group. Ananias is a membership class student. Acts 9. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him. And it didn't look like he saw something strange. Or Saul of Tarsus, who in 3 days and 3 nights is there in visions and trance. And he saw and heard. He saw Jesus and he heard him. He saw him and he heard him. Which means we can see into the Spirit and we can hear in the Spirit. Now, I said something in the first service. I'm going to take it on now. I showed you something in the first service. So we're in the first service. That you can pick up from a stream. Just like the flow. You can pick up from a stream. And I showed them that, you see, you first gave tongues, interpretation of tongues. Then you got the interpretation and you wrote it down. From what you wrote down, you can pick it up like you are writing in continuation. You can pick up from what you heard, what you said the first time, and like it, as it were, expand it. It's an intelligence. Now, let me take it a bit further. You can also step from speaking to hearing. And let me tell you the first way that's going to happen. Here, this is what I'm about to say. Stop right, just listen. When it comes to revelation, now, in the utterance gifts, desire is primary. You desire. And what you want to eat, you eat. Desire, you speak. When it comes to the revelation gifts, attention is important. Your attention. So, attention is important. That's why you notice that a good number of times where people have revelation gifts and manifestation, they are praying or fasting or ministering to the Lord. There's something about your attention. So now let's do it like this. Let's bring the two streams together. If by desire, I start to speak with tongues and interpret and prophesy, from that stream, if I pay attention to what I say and what I am saying by the Spirit, I will receive revelation. So one stream can connect to the other one. Who's following what I'm saying here? One stream can connect to the other one. Now, if you look at the prophets of the Old Testament, just like they are all prophets anyway, and Peter says that prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, which means that the things that were written as revelation first came by speaking. Speaking, then revelation. So, you and I can step into revelation if we pay attention to our utterances. So I told you in the first service, listen to what you are saying. You will hear, as you are speaking out, listen. I'm not saying listen to maybe the syllables of your tongues. No. Listen at that point, and you will lay a hold on something. That's why Paul could say, in 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation, a doctrine. Let all things be done to edification. The first thing he starts with is, he that speaks in tongues, let it be by two, at most by three. That's how we start. So, he starts by saying, speak with tongues, then interpret. The next thing he says is that if anything be revealed. So, which means that from tongues to interpretation to prophecy and revelation. So I will train my faculties in hearing by doing much speaking and paying attention. I will train my faculties in listening or hearing by giving more attention to what I say by the Holy Ghost. Are you here? Are you here? I will train myself. So when you are having a Holy Ghost, we are going to have one for a few minutes. I'm going to have the PCF coordinators on that. Well, or maybe we'll do that one next week. We'll do that one next week. When you are talking in other tongues, pay attention. Don't let your mind be elsewhere. You know when Paul says, my mind is unfruitful, in 1 Corinthians 14:14, it means your mind is involved. Don't let your mind stray. Let your mind minister to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that's how it always works. But you see, this is a basic principle you can find in God's word. When you are in a meeting, right, and I remember the very first time I gave interpretation of tongues. I didn't know how to. So a friend of mine came around. I said, okay, so I saw how he did it, and that was all. Sometimes it's just observation. Observation. The things of the Spirit can be learned by observation. Can be learned. You can watch someone pray and know how to pray. You can watch someone lay hands on the sick and know how to pray for the sick. You can watch someone teach. It's the same thing with the things of the Spirit. So as I saw him, I saw that as he spoke with tongues, he just gave the meaning. Of course, I'm sure that my first meanings were funny. But he now told me something. No, the second friend told me. He said, I'd never heard this before. He said, you know, you just gave a word of knowledge and word of wisdom. I didn't know what it was. He said, you just did. He said, what you said was about this and about that. I didn't have an idea. But it happened. Right? Because I watched it. So sometimes it's just good to pay attention. Pay very good attention. And of course, your mind is in the place. Your mind is in the place. So the spirit you are given, the spirit within you, is a speaking spirit also a revealing spirit. Say, I have the spirit of revelation. Say it again, I have the spirit of revelation. I see and I hear in the spirit. I mean, you go past someone saying, ah, that guy can see in the spirit. Say, we both can. We are both born again. Now, of course, I know some folks are in an office, or the function of an office and all that, but basically all believers born of God can hear and see things in the spirit. And along the lines of ministering, you will know when a demon is at work. You will see events before they happen. You will see events that have happened that your senses did not know. You will be able to lay hands on facts and details. You know, sometimes not everything. Just a phrase, just a name, a mention. You know, and one thing is this, and you have to do this. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. No. Don't be. At all. Don't be. Just like every natural thing, things of the spirit can be learnt. And when they are learnt, you get better with practice. Don't be. Some say, I've missed it before. Well, welcome to the club. We are many. All of us do. All of us have. So, you'd know well that God's Spirit within you enables you to see things. I'm not asking you to become superstitious and become suspicious, no. But you will know things by the Holy Ghost. When you are ministering to people, praying for them, or just praying generally, you would get to know things. Sometimes it will redirect your prayer. Sometimes it will redirect what you are saying. And let me say this to you. You don't have to have been in this church beyond this service to know what I'm saying. This might be your first time in this service. It might even be your first day as a Christian. You are as qualified as everybody. Let me see if you follow what I'm saying. You don't need a series of teaching. Those in scripture, in the book of Acts, did not have a series of teaching. No. No, they didn't. In Acts 8, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them in Samaria. In Acts 10, 44, the Holy Ghost fell in the house of Cornelius. At all. So the Holy Ghost walks within us in speaking, in hearing, and in seeing. Someone say in speaking, in hearing, and seeing. Now put your pen down. Let's do something. We're going to spend 5 minutes or more. We'll just talk in tongues, interpret it, and listen to ourselves. And watch what comes with it. Let's do that. Now, 1 second. When it comes to revelation gifts, let your tone be a bit measured so that you can pay attention. Right? No, there's a way you pray, and you're praying, you're just praying. But when it comes to this, no. Because you are waiting to receive something, you should receive something, your tone is a bit quieter than when you are praying normally. Do you get that? Let's go ahead. Do you understand what I just said now? All right, let's go. As I'm talking, just be praying. Just do what you're doing. This will help you a lot when you're ministering to, so that you can, under your breath, you are searching, like the way you search for something. Yep.
You'll find a way around it. You will. And when he does, the other party will get the understanding. Yep, it will be month after that other month. And that which was missing will be found in the same time. It will be a sign. Yep, it will be a sign. Yep. The pictures become clearer as they go. Yep. Thetos, Prixtos, sir. Now, 1 second. I'm giving you a practical class. As you're doing that, whatever you say it. And when you say it, so that you won't forget, if you just put it down, whatever you said. Whatever you said, say it. And it will involve details and events and things and people. Yeah, let's go ahead again. We're going to practice among ourselves in a moment. Go ahead. Oh, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Anyone got something? Let me see how you got something. So what we're going to do now you're going to, now another thing is you now take a step of faith by being bold enough to say it in the meeting of believers. God wants you to be able to act on this boldly. And something about this is that if you don't start, you have not started. And don't be afraid. Don't be. So you have, you know, you're able to step out boldly. I just told you that I didn't know much and I just said it. And my friend said, that's a word of wisdom. I didn't know what a word of wisdom was. A word of knowledge. I didn't know at all. I just spoke, you know, I'd not even started ministry when that happened. So I just knew. And the same way, you know, you can be bold about it. Amen? Amen? Amen. Say this afternoon. I give full expression to the ministry of the Spirit among believers today. I'm bold to step into that flowing stream of utterances and revelation. You ready? Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Praise God.